We're continuing our walk through the Gospel of Luke, examining the evidence that Dr. Luke provides for us. Today is the 11th day of June of 2017. I titled it Jesus and the Sabbath, and we're going to cover Luke chapter 6, 1 through 11. I'm going to do something different today I've never done before. I'm using Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible, The Message, as my main text. So every Bible verse, unless otherwise noted, is out of Mr. Peterson's translation, The Message, which I've never done before, kind of different. Second thing I'm going to do different is the most important teaching is the introduction. So you may think it's going to take a while to get wound up and get going, but really the first one is the most important. So I intentionally started and put my other points shorter. Marty could have started 5 minutes early and gave me a little more time. The rascal waited right on time. So it's entitled Jesus and the Sabbath. Number one, the disciples pick wheat on the Sabbath. Number two, Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath. So the harmony of the Gospels includes all of these stories in both Matthew and Mark. So we'll pop into them for color. And you'll be amazed at how much color Mark and Matthew add to what Luke does. So, the Sabbath rest, what do you know about it? First thing you need to do on the top of your outline is, forgive me, I made a typing error. I did not put rest on there, and obviously I did not put a space between it in this slide. So, on your outline there where it says the Sabbath, and then it has the fill-in-the-blanks, A through a bunch, add rest, because really what I want to talk to you about in the introduction is this amazing rest that God provided. And Jackie was teasing me that I had on a Hawaiian shirt, and I said, no, Caribbean. It's Caribbean. Don't worry, man. Be happy. We have time. We don't do it today. We maybe do it tomorrow. They don't actually have the concept of biblical rest, but they do a much better job than the hurry-scurry insanity of many of us in the States. Now, God's rest is not quite the same, but it's kind of like that in a way. So, when did it start? Do you know? Who started it? You know that one? Why did it start? And did God give us commands about it? Now, I want to look first time the Bible speaks about the Sabbath rest, and then the last time. And they're kind of like bookends. And I begin to understand as I look at Scripture, God will often do this. He will do something at the beginning of the Bible, and then he will do something with it at the end of our Bible. And the two of them go together. And they kind of hold together what's in between. So, Sabbath rest. When did it start? Who started it and why? In Genesis 2, 1 through 3, the heavens and the earth were finished down to the last detail. By the seventh day, God had finished his work. On the seventh day, he rested from all his work. He rested from all his work. Verse 3, God blessed the seventh day, made it a holy day, because that day he rested from the work, all the creating he had done. He rested from his work. So Sabbath rest, when did it start? Pretty early on, really, scheme of things, the seventh day. You think that's when it started? Sabbath rest started? God finished his part before the foundation of the world. Hebrews 4:3. Why then? Why did he make his rest before he set the footings and poured the foundation to hold the axis that our earth spins on? Why did he do that first? Well, who started it? Well, God did. He had everything done, so he rested. Question, if he rested from his work, then is that what we are to do also? Yes. That's what we're supposed to do. So who started it? God did. He had everything done, so he rested. Question, later did Jesus say it's finished from the cross? Yes. Yes, he did. Why did he say it's finished? Because he had his work done. Then what did he do? Laid down, took a 3-day nap. Till an angel come and took the napkin off his face and said, Master, it's time for you to get up. And he did. Walked out of there alive. Now, have you ever thought out the implications of that? Do you think the first, it's all done, and the last, it's all done, go together? Genesis and Hebrews? I do. I got the idea from the Apostle Paul. Pretty good source. Reputable source, I would say. So, Sabbath rest, why did it start? This is where the fun part starts for me. Did Jesus need a break after the creation of the earth? Too much for you, boy? Got to take a little rest? No. He's our example. Why did Jesus rest for a day with Adam and Eve? It's our example. Adam and Eve lived in rest for a period. Till they rebelled against God and lost it all. He's our example. Now, so why did it start? Well, it's not for Jesus. God, grief, God doesn't need a break. Could it be for us? The first and last done rest are for you and I. When do we get it? Today. And I'll build a biblical foundation to show you that's the truth. Today. Today. Now, so in Hebrews 4:9 in the NIV translation, it says, there remains a Sabbath rest for God's people. There remains this rest for God's people. Born again, obedient, faithful followers of Jesus Christ can experience a rest beyond anything I can really paint a word picture to describe for you. God's people get to live different than other people because of this rest God made before he made anything else. Now, go back to the message and look at Hebrews 4:1. For as long then as the promise of rest is in him, pulls us to God's goal for us, we need to be careful we are not disqualified. So God's goal for us is that we go out and win souls for Jesus, right? God's goal for us is to read our Bibles every day and pray, right? There's a whole bunch of legalistic, ritual, religious rules that the church has come up with. God's goal from the foundation is for you to receive this promise of resting in him. That promise of resting in him, we need to be careful we're not disqualified. You can be disqualified and not get it. Verse 2, we received the same promise as those people in the wilderness, but the promise did do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promise with faith. So who are those people in the wilderness? Those are the children of Israel sitting at the foot of Mount Sinai. God was going to reestablish this rest relationship with his people. But they did not receive it. They didn't get the promise because they didn't believe him. You can have this rest, but you got to believe it. You got to have faith. And there is something that will disqualify you. Even if you get into it by faith, you can lose it. Now, we believe they'll experience the same state of resting, but not if they don't have faith. So we believe we'll experience the same state of resting, but it will require us to have faith. There is a life that's based on rest. Now, verse 3, remember God said, exasperated, I vowed, they'll never get where they're going and be able to sit down and rest. God made that vow even though he'd finished his part before the foundation of the world. That's where I got the one earlier. God made the vow even though he'd finished that part before the foundation of the world. This rest was done before he started anything else. Think about that. 4 and 5. Somewhere it is written, God rested on the seventh day, having completed his work. But in another text, it says they'll never be able to sit down and rest. So, this promise was not yet fulfilled. Those earlier never did get to the place of rest because they were disobedient. God keeps renewing the promise and setting the date today, just as he did in David's Psalm centuries later from the original invitation. Today, please listen. Don't turn a deaf ear. And so there is still a live promise. It wasn't canceled at the time of Joshua. Otherwise, God wouldn't have kept renewing the appointment for today. The promise of arrival and rest are still there for God's people. Arrival and rest. Those are Mr. Peterson's quotes. I put those in my text a lot. I don't know if I put them in the right place, but I usually put them in there to make you pay attention. But there is an arrival of rest that's available for you. And I believe that it's a now rest. The rest that he's talking about in Hebrews here is right now, today, every day, you can renew, refresh, and walk and experience resting, abiding, and walking with the Lord in an amazing experience. But there is also God himself is at rest, and at the end of the journey, we'll surely rest with him. That's a then rest. And most people understand when you're dead and you're in heaven, you get to rest. You still get work, still got things to do, but you live in this amazing resting relationship. So there's a rest then that most people believe in, but most Christians don't know or experience this rest. So, verse 11. So let's keep at it and eventually arrive at the place of rest. Not drop out through some sort of disobedience. Sabbath rest was not meant just as a day off work. That's what most people think. It was that, but it was so much more than that. So what have we learned? A, on your outline, your first blank is the word rest. These are going to fill the whole page, so better start writing now. Sabbath rest is not for God. The rest God did, Jesus did on the seventh day, wasn't for him. He spent that 24 hours with Adam and Eve talking to them about how to rest and relate with them. Now, B, Sabbath rest was intended for us. From the beginning, it was intended for us. God lives this way. He wanted us to live just like he does. They do too. And we can. God lives at rest. Can you believe that? When you're in charge of everything, got all power, all authority, all dominion, you can be pretty relaxed, right? He wanted us to live that way too, like the three of them do. They live at rest. Now see on your outline, one enters by faith. So your first plank is rest. It's intended for us, and you get into it, and you stay into it, and you refresh and renew it and restore it by faith. D, disobedience. That's the biggest word I'll make you right. Disobedience. I actually spelled it right the first time. I surprised myself. Maybe I do it so much that it's common language for me. I don't know. Disobedience will mess it all up. The children of Israel disobeyed. They didn't get in it. God vowed they'll never get into it. The Jewish Hebrew people do not get to rest yet unless they become born again. Then they can get in. But of all the good breaks the Israel's Israelites get, the Jews get, all the money, all the stuff, all the special favors from God. They don't get to rest yet unless they become born again. Why? Because mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, didn't obey. God said, you ain't ever going to get it. You're not ever going to get it, man. Now, E, it's not primarily physical. Surprised myself, I spelled that one right, too. And the last one, F, it's meant for today. So, you rest, it's intended for us, it's by faith, it's disqualified by disobedience, it's not primarily physical, and it's meant for today. Sabbath rest is not meant just as a day off work. It is when we stop trying to do it, live on our own like Adam and Eve did. Do you see that? Most Christians, most people in the world, live life on their own strength, their own gut intention, their own stamina, growing up in a German home, their stubborn, bullheaded determination to never quit, to never lose. That's what Germans do. But that's not it. It's not you. It's all about Him. Now, we let God live His life in us. Our lives are His. That's when you experience it. When you, by faith, through grace, surrender your free will and submit it to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the empowering, the inspiration, and the innovation of the Holy Spirit, that's when you begin to experience the rest. And it's like anything that you see growing green in the spring, it grows the more you do it, the more you water it with the word, the more you refresh it, the more you cultivate it, the more you nourish it, the more faith you put into it, the more you believe it, the more of it you experience. Now, God does want us to rest our body for 24 hours nonstop. That is true. You are supposed to take one day in seven and for 24 hours rest and not do anything. Nothing. God does want us to rest our souls at that time and to recharge our spiritual batteries too then. So it is meant for a physical rest. Now, God's the designer and builder of us. He knows best how to maintain His creation. It's the way you were built. The manufacturer programmed that into your bodily function cycle. If we do not do what the owner manual says, we should expect to have problems. I get to go to a doctor this week. Why? Physical problems. One of the reasons is I don't rest in Him physically and spiritually and psychologically and as much as and as well as I should. Now, it's time for me to service the Magic Bus and Champagne this month. Magic Bus rolled up on 240,000 miles, and I took it and had professional service. The Champagne bike I ride turned 60,000 miles this week, and when I put it in the garage and I looked at the odometer, 60,002 miles, I thought, I bet you if I take my owner's manual out, it should say, service your bike at 60,000 miles. So the next day I called and made an appointment, have them serviced. Why? Why do I service my vehicles? So they work the way I want them to, especially Champagne. When she and I go dancing, you want it to do everything it's supposed to do the way it's supposed to do it. Now, some of us do good at servicing our vehicles. Do you do well at servicing your body? There are facts to back up God's way. You can sit down and talk to your doctor about it. One of my favorite testimonies is from World War II. During World War II, there was an all-out effort in our country to produce and overproduce so that we could throw so much stuff at my ancestors in Germany that we could defeat them. And in many ways, when you look at the victory of World War II, it's because They just ran out of stuff, and we kept throwing more stuff at them. We never ran out of stuff. They could shoot 20 bombers out of the air, and ladies would fly 25 in to replace them. They could kill 10 of our tanks, and a boat would arrive with 20 more. Now, during that time, there were some people, most of them Jewish, some of them that were believers, who refused to run their factory 7 days a week. They said, we'll work 6 days, we'll run them around the clock 6 days, but the seventh day we're going to shut everything off. Turn off the lights, everybody's going home, we get a break. And they got a lot of flack for it. You aren't in favor of the war. We're trying to free your Jewish brothers and you won't work on the Sabbath. Nope. The amazing thing was they did some studies post-war and they discovered that the production rate, the downtime, and the personal loss injury incidents in those factories was over 30% more than the factories that run that extra day. They took a day off, and they still made, at the end of it all, 30% more. Why? Stuff didn't break as much. People didn't break down as much. People didn't hurt themselves as much. Amazing facts. Google it. Now, Sabbath, what do we know about it? Did God give commands about it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did. So I did a word search on Sabbath day. Here's what I came up with. We'll start with a passage of scripture most people know is where the Ten Commandments are, Exodus 20, verse 8. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 29. 6 days you are to work and do everything you need to do. So one is to work and work hard for 6 days. Hit it. Get after it. 6 days a week. But on the seventh day, a Sabbath to God, your God, do not do any work, not you, not your son, not your daughter, not your servant, not your maid, not your animal, not even the foreign guests that are visiting you. Do no work. I was in Israel on the Sabbath. I'd been there the day before the Sabbath, and when I got into the elevator, I pushed the button in the King David Hotel in Jerusalem and went up to the seventh floor. I got to stay on the seventh floor. And got off, came on the Sabbath, and there's this cute little Arab girl standing in the elevator. She says, what floor, sir? Number 7, thank you. She punched the button. Next time, I went down later, and I got in, and there were some Hebrews, some Jewish people that got in with me. And the little lady says, what floor? They give them their number. I gave them my number. But I noticed that they had a young Arab man with them, obviously not Jewish by his attire. And so they got off first. So I asked the girl, well, what's the guy doing with them? Oh, he's going to unlock their door. They can't unlock their door? Oh, not on the Sabbath. It's work. Then he's going to draw a bath for the lady. And I got off on the seventh floor and I went in and I needed a bath. And I thought, huh. Maybe I should call down and get a cute Arab girl to come draw me a bubble bath. I went for the shower. But the point is, you do not do any work. The ladies make food ahead of time. It's out on the table. There's white linens over it. When you're hungry, you go get some. And when you're done, you cover it up. But nobody cooks. Nobody does nothing. Not you or your son. Not your daughter, your servant, your maid, not your animals, your critters, not even a foreign guest. Do no work. Rest. So this is what God said. So when Jesus is getting in trouble, you understand why. For 6 days, God made the heaven and the earth and everything in them. Then he rested on the seventh day. What's the teaching point? Every week, you teach your children creation. Because God knew there was going to be this theory of evolution coming, and we needed to teach our children every day that he was the creator. Now, Exodus 11:20. Therefore, God blessed the Sabbath day, set it apart, made it holy. Number 12, honor your father and your mother as long as you live in the land your Lord God is giving you. I put that one in there because I like this one. No murder, no adultery, no stealing. Oh, it makes the Ten Commandments so easy in the... How about this one? No lusting after your neighbor's house, wife, servant, maid, or donkey. Don't set your heart on anything that your neighbor has. And I thought of it, Peterson's older because he's thinking of the guy's house rather than the guy's young wife. But you're not supposed to do that. Go on. Next time is in Exodus 31, 14 through 17. Keep the Sabbath holy. Whoever profanes it must certainly be put to death. Whoever works on it must be excommunicated. If you profane the Sabbath, kill them. If you work on it, excommunicate them from the community. Serious. Real serious. 6 days of work, seventh day rest holy. Anyone who works on that Sabbath should certainly be put to death. So it's either pure rest or put to death if you're Jewish. That's serious stuff. Pure rest, do nothing, or put to death. 31:16, the Israelites will keep the Sabbath, observe it through the generations as a standing covenant. So they're supposed to keep doing this, and that's one of the reasons Jesus got in trouble. It's a fixed sign between me and the Israelites because 6 days, heaven and earth, 7 days, he stopped and took a long, deep breath. I like that one. Got it all done. That's good. That's really good. I'm just going to sit down here with Adam and Eve and just look at it and talk about it for a while. You ever get one of those? Get to the end of something, it turns out well, and you go, Next place, Exodus 35, 2 and 3. Work 6 days, but the seventh day is a rest. Anyone who does work on that must be put to death. Must be put to death. Don't light any fires in your homes on the Sabbath day. And this is where the details started. Right there. You can't light a fire. You can't do anything. So, it's not hard to see or a stretch to understand why the powers that be in Jesus' day took the Sabbath day seriously. You're guarding it. You guard it through the generations. If anybody does it wrong, kill them. So when you look at what Jesus does, and you look at what they do, there is a real legitimate issue that they needed to look at. Now, in our culture, in our day, in our time, it's not Sabbath. In our day, it's sexual preference. That's the big gig. How do we deal with that? People do it wrong, you can't go out and kill them. Somehow or another, you got to love them, give them grace, accept them into the kingdom as they believe in Jesus Christ. How do the two fit together? That's our challenge. This was their challenge, the Sabbath. But the troubles came in all their details. One can see how over the years putting some guidelines for people would be helpful because people like to push the envelope. Where's the line? Okay. How much of my toe can I get over it before I get in trouble? Right? You didn't cross the line, but you had your toe right on it, didn't you? Oh, yeah, baby. People want to do that. So you could see why putting some details in over these 400 years would be helpful. Now, Jesus and the Sabbath. I finally did get to point one. The disciples picked wheat on the Sabbath. This is what my study Bible said about that passage. Jewish legal traditions had 39 categories, activities, forbidden on the Sabbath. And harvesting was one of them. There were descriptions on methods of harvesting and rubbing your hands together and grinding the grain was one of them. You couldn't do that. Now, God's law told the farmers not to harvest all their fields so the poor and the travelers could eat from their bounty. So, the disciples were not stealing the grain. The farmers allowed you, when you were traveling and the grain was ripe, you could eat all you want when you walked through it. Now, you couldn't back your pickup truck up and load it up and go sell it. But you could harvest, eat all you want. If you wanted to sit down and eat grain till you were full, you could. No big deal. God gave us plenty. Help yourself all you want. If you're poor, you're traveling, you don't need fast foodie. You just go pick the grain that's ripe, the figs that are ripe. Whatever's ripe in season, you're welcome to eat your fill. You can't take it with you, pack it up, but you can eat all you wanted. No problem. Now, none of the disciples' normal job was farming, so they weren't doing their normal work. So the disciples were not breaking the divine law, but they were breaking one of the Pharisees' rules. And that's where things get dicey. When one can pick and choose one of man's rules that he wants to obey, you can see where that could get to be a problem. And I never did really find the right way to spell dicey. That's my way of spelling it. But you get the point. You know, when you start picking and choosing which one of the rules you're going to obey or not to obey, then it really gets messy. If you just obey them all, it's no problem. Or you don't obey them all, it's no problem. But when you're picking and choosing, that's when it gets kind of dicey. So here's what Luke says in 6:1 through 5. On a certain Sabbath, Jesus was walking through a field of ripe grain. The disciples were putting the hands of grain and rubbing them in their hands to get rid of the chaff and eating them. Some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing that? Breaking the Sabbath rule." But Jesus stood up for them. "Have you never read what David and the men with him did when they were hungry? How he entered the sanctuary and ate fresh bread right off of the altar. Bread that no one but the priests were allowed to eat. He also handed some to his companions. They ate bread off of the altar." Oh. Then he said, "The Son of Man is no slave to the Sabbath. He's in charge." Our brother Matthew adds something in 12:1 through 8. "One Sabbath, Jesus was strolling with his disciples past a grain field. It was ripe. Hungry, the disciples were putting the grain in their hands and munching on them. Some of the Pharisees reported it to Jesus. 'Your disciples are breaking the Sabbath rules.' Jesus said, 'Really? Didn't you ever read what David and his companions did when they were hungry? How they entered the sanctuary and ate fresh bread off the altar, bread that no one but the priest was allowed to eat? And didn't you ever read the law where priests are carrying out their temple duties? They break the Sabbath rules all the time, but they're not held against them.'" See, preacher boys can work on Sunday. 6, there's more at stake here than religion. Think about it. Religion. If you had any idea what this scripture meant, "I prefer a flexible heart to inflexible ritual," you wouldn't be nitpicking like this. What's he saying he wants, church people? Rituals? "You must start on time. You must quit on time. You must pray like this. You must do 3 songs and then an offering and do-do-do-do-do. All the rigmarole and rituals." Well, you can't play that kind of music in the Lord's house. There's all kinds of rituals that divide the church up and down, don't they? Fortunately, most of the time we stay united, and I like it. But God wants a flexible heart. He's after your heart, not your inflexible ritual. "Oh, I have to do my quiet time at 7:02 to 8:01. If I don't do it then..." But we put all these rituals into our lives, these patterns into our life. "Oh, I have to do that now. I have to do it this way in the church, in my life." That's not what he wants. "The Son of Man is no lackey to the Sabbath." I bet you never read that in the King James. "He's in charge." Mark adds, look at this. Jesus said the Sabbath was made to serve us. We weren't made to serve the Sabbath. You get it? The story about David was well known. They all loved to tell the story about David. Once when David was running away from King Saul, him and his bodyguard left town in a big hurry. They didn't take any food. They were literally running for their lives. Want to know my favorite part of that story when I was a boy growing up in Lutheran church? The sword. I love the sword. I don't know why Jesus left that part out. I think it's the coolest part. There were 12 loaves of bread placed on the table of presents, which is literally God's dining room table in the inner sanctuary part of the tent, the tabernacle. One for each of the 12 tribes. And they put them in there fresh on God's table. It was called the table of presence, and it was a presence, all 12 loaves, one for each of the 12 of the tribes. When the loaves were brought out, fresh ones put in, then only the priests were allowed to eat those leftovers. No one could go into God's table, take it off of the table, and stand around his table and eat it. But that's what David and the boys did. Now, sometimes God stroked people down for doing stuff like that, killed them on the spot, burned them up to a crisp. Obviously, he had a soft spot for David, let him and the boys get away with it. The point Jesus was making here is personal need can trump regulations, like driving someone to the hospital is a critical need of care can trump speed limits, right? If somebody's, you see it all the time, having a baby, you got to get there in a hurry, you know? So then you can kind of bend the rules, right? Now, what David did you forget about the sword? When David had killed Goliath, all his stuff was way too big to fit on anybody. It was no use. He gave it to God as a thank offering, and now he got back the big sword. Goliath is over 10 foot 7 inches tall. His head would bump, his nose would bump on the rim of the NBA basketball court tonight. Think about him playing center. Think about how big his sword is. It was ginormous. David slung that sucker over his back, and it was his sword until he became the king. Then he laid it down. Kind of a cool story. Anyway, the other thing, Jesus is putting himself and his men on the same level as David and his men. Oh, that didn't go over well. When Jesus said he was Lord of the Sabbath, he was saying, I made it. Jesus can trump the Pharisees' traditions. Creator has authority over his creation. That didn't go over well either when he was saying he was the creator of it all. A on your outline. See, I did get to it. The Son of Man is Lord. That's your blank. And put a capital L on that rascal. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath day. Jesus is telling them the truth. I am the one who made everything. John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Everything that was made by Jesus. He's the one. He and the Holy Spirit came up with the blueprints, came up with the design, and Jesus was the general contractor and got to do it with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Sweet. He's telling people, I made it all. Now, B, I want mercy and not sacrifice. And if you're going to put a capital on anything, capitalize or circle mercy. Most people think of Sabbath, oh, got to sacrifice. Don't get to do the stuff I need to do. Oh, but because I love the Lord, I'll sacrifice. No. No, 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 no. It's all about mercy, not sacrifice. The Pharisees, most church people have it wrong. Check it out. Is this how church works today? Is this what church people do? They are the most merciful, peaceful, resting. When you leave here on time and you get to go to the pancake house and have your breakfast, all of the church people are going to be the nicest, peaceful, best tippers, best, right? No mercy. Judgment. That's what most church people do. They don't see what Jesus is saying. I don't want judgment. First time he came, he says, I'm never going to judge anybody on my first trip. Second trip, every single soul is going to stand before me, and I will talk to them about every thought, every word, everything they ever did, and they will stand before me in judgment. Now, the days that you rest, there's less trouble you get yourself into. The church leaders back then were more concerned about protecting how they did things than helping people. They were focused on the negative. I went online and I read our plan for dealing with sexual deviance. I'm thinking, oh, man. Kind of bent a little bit towards the negative. Protecting rather than mercy. Not supposed to do that stuff. There's lots of stuff we ain't supposed to do, but we do anyway. Somehow or another, just trying to protect ourselves and protect our reputation, protect our assets, is not what Jesus did. He laid it all down, man. He gave it all up. And he gave a lot more up than what we ever have. Now, what rules should not be broken? What activities should not be done? Does that sound anything like the church of today? Oh, you can't do that. You can't break that rule. That's a standard rule. That's the way we've always done it. That's tradition. That's the pattern. That's the... I think so. Jesus was then and is now. He focuses on the positive. What would an observer say about our Christianity? We're resting. We're merciful. We're graceful. We're peaceful. We're joyful. Or do we scrap, fight, disagree, pick on each other? We have unity or disunity? Are there more concerns about people should not be doing than advancing the kingdom? I think so. I think we spend more time saying what people should not be doing than developing a workable positive strategy to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ and kick the butt of the devil and the demons that have so much authority and power. But as long as we focus on the negative, we're walking in the darkness with them. Now, point number two, I did get there. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Why was this a problem? Because the 39 traditions, practicing medicine was one of them. Luke 6:6. On another Sabbath, he was at the meeting place and he taught. The man was there with a crippled right hand. The religious scholars and Pharisees, they kept an eye on Jesus to see if he would heal man, hoping they'd catch him in a Sabbath infraction. He knew what they were up to. He spoke to the man with the crippled hand. Get up here and stand in front of us. He did. Jesus addressed him. Let me ask you something. What kind of action suits the Sabbath best? Doing good or doing evil? Helping people or leaving them helpless? Look at those two different choices. He looked around each one of them in the eye and he said to the man, hold out your hand. He held it out. It was good as new. They were beside themselves with anger. They started plotting how they might get even with him. Now look then what our brother Matthew tells us in 12:9. When Jesus left the field, he entered a meeting place. There was a man with a crippled hand. He said to Jesus, is it legal to heal on the Sabbath? And they were baiting him. He replied, is there a person here who, finding a ram fallen into a ravine, even though it was the Sabbath, wouldn't pull it out? Surely kindness to people is legal if kindness to animals is. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. He held it out and it was healed. The Pharisees walked out furious, sputtering how they're going to ruin Jesus. Look what Matthew, when he translated NIV, Reader's Version. But the Pharisees went out, planned how to kill Jesus. Now let's go to our brother Mark 3:1. He's got a lot of different color to this one. If you've been asleep, wake up for this one. Then he went back to the meeting place where he found the man with a crippled hand. The Pharisees had their eyes on Jesus to see if he would heal, hoping to catch him in a Sabbath infraction. He said to the man with a crippled hand, stand up here so we can see you. Then he spoke to the people. What kind of action best suits the Sabbath? Doing good? Doing evil? Helping people? Leaving them helpless? No one said a word. Watch this part. He looked them all in the eye. One by one, one after another, he looked at each one, angry now, furious at their hard-nosed religion. Angry now, furious at their hard-nosed religion. Is that any different with the church today? If we are hard-nosed and religious about our rules, are we going to get any different response from the King of Kings? Is he going to be different because it's the age of grace? And because we're born-again believers, he's going to treat us different. Nope. Everybody gets the same. Look at 5. He said to the man, hold out your hand. He held it out. It was as good as new. The Pharisees got out fast as they could, sputtering about how they were joined forces with Herod's followers and ruin him. In the NIV Reader's Edition, that same verse says, Jesus looked around at them in anger. He was very upset because their hearts were stubborn. He said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out. His hand was as good as new. The Pharisees went out, began to make plans with the Herodians. They wanted to kill Jesus. A, on your outline, the Sabbath rest is to do good. Good. That's the place where I always draw two little eyes and the O's and a nose and a smiley face underneath. Good. That's what it's meant to do. Mercy, good, grace, help, care. Good for who? For you, as a believer. Good for the sinner, too. All of them. All of them. God wants all of them to be born again and enter the rest. Now, B, Jesus was angry, upset because their hearts were stubborn. So was it what they were doing? No. They're supposed to keep the rules. It's their job. But their hearts were messed up. Man, woman, children, it's our hearts that Jesus wants, not the ritual religious actions. Just like their forefathers did in the desert. They were hard, stubborn. Note to self, don't be stubborn. Surrender. You can either be stubborn and fight to the end, or you can surrender. Now, the children of Israel were stubborn and stiff-necked bunch. They never got to enter the Sabbath rest intended for them. And they won't until Jesus comes back unless they become born again. Let's learn from their disobedience. Let's be people who live in God's rest for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you on this day we call your day, in this place we call your place, and for a buck and a quarter, for 125 years, we've got together in this place to seek you, desire to know you, and humbly we bow before you today, and we need, each one of us desperately needs you to enlighten our spirits, our souls, our thinking in this issue of Sabbath rest. How we can take a deep breath, and in the midst of all we need to get done, we can completely stop and spend a day just loving on you and loving on those that are close to us. Nobody working, nobody running. Everybody just together at peace, at rest, in unity and harmony with you. Lord, we confess the sins that there is judgment that comes into our hearts and lives. Sorry, sir. Forgive us. There are times when we are not merciful to ourselves and to others. Father, forgive us. Today, would you please send a spirit that would help us understand this, not just for us, but that we could grow the fruit and others could eat of it too, all they want. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.